Mr. Leader, boys and girls and teenagers, I am so glad you're back again tonight. You've listened so well this week, and I've been very proud of you and excited for you, and God's done amazing things. We've seen a lot of you come forward for salvation. You've given your heart to Jesus Christ. No doubt some of you have already been saved before this Vacation Bible School, and God's done things in your heart and spoken to you, and so we want to keep that going, but tonight's our last night of Vacation Bible School. Last night we were at Camp Site 4, and we were learning about under the stars, before the dawn. We learned that Peter was under great pressure to deny Jesus. He was concerned, most likely, about what might happen to him if he were to let the people find out that he was with Jesus. And so he denied him three times. And that's exactly what Jesus had said would happen. And if you remember the story the night before, when Peter was listening to Jesus and Jesus said that before the cock would crow twice, Peter would deny him thrice, three times. Peter went, "No, Lord, you're wrong." That's basically what he was saying. He told Jesus he would be wrong two times. The first time Jesus said, "You'll forsake me. All of you will be offended and run away." And Peter said, "No way." And then the second time Jesus said, "Peter, before the rooster crows two times, you will deny me three times." And Peter just couldn't believe it. Well, then last night we saw that happen, all that pressure. And then we learned that some of you have been under pressure. You've been hearing the preaching, and the Holy Spirit of God has said, "You need to get saved. You need to get saved." And some of you, even last night, I saw it during the invitation. Some of you went to put your hand up. I don't know that I'm saved, or I know I'm not saved. And I saw some, especially on the girl's side, I saw the hand go halfway up. And then I watched one girl kind of look over, and she put her hand back down. And listen, I'm not calling that person out or anyone else. I'm just saying that pressure is on, and we don't want that. That's negative pressure. That's bad pressure. The devil is actually doing that, and sometimes it's our own pride doing that. Well, again, tonight is the last night of VBS, and we're going to Campsite 5 around the campfire. But I've named the lesson tonight, "Forgiveness is for Failures." Forgiveness is for failures. Tonight, every one of us are failures. I know that doesn't sound very popular. It doesn't sound very fun. It doesn't sound like what you might hear if you go to a public school. But listen, the truth is, in God's eyes, we have all failed. We've all broken His law. We have all messed up. And those of us who are saved, I'm saved here tonight, I'm still a failure. I fail Jesus all the time. But thank God, forgiveness is for failures. Those that are righteous, they need no forgiveness. But the fact is, nobody is righteous. So tonight we're going to read how Peter feels that he has failed Jesus so badly. This is after he's denied him three times. And Peter feels like it's gone so wrong. He's messed up so bad, he could never be forgiven. He could never be used by Jesus again. So we're going to read about it tonight in John chapter 21. And the Bible says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. Now let me just stop real quick and tell you what's going on. We're fast forwarding here. I mean, way forward. So that night when Peter was in the hall and he denied Jesus three times, Peter runs out, remember, and he wept bitterly. He was totally broken. He was totally disgusted with himself. And we didn't read any more of the story, but the rest of the story is that Jesus is tried, he's mocked, he's beaten, and then he's led out in front of Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor there, and he tells the people to crucify Jesus. I'm kind of cutting through it quickly. They take Jesus, and they stretch him out. They take his clothes off, and they nail him to a cross. Now, the Bible tells us there's other reasons why they thought they were doing it, but the Bible says that the real reason it happened was because he was the sacrifice for our sin. He was the payment and took the punishment for our sin. He died so we wouldn't have to. And so that happened. Jesus was on the cross and he died. He gave up his life, the Bible says, for us. He was buried for 3 days and three nights. He was literally dead. And the Bible says that death could not hold him because he had never sinned. The wages of sin is death. The only thing that requires death is sin, and Jesus had not sinned. So he died, but he could not stay dead. He rose again from the dead and came back to life. And now, this time, when we see Jesus here, he already died and came back to life. And this is going to be the third time he has appeared to Peter and the other disciples. So it says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, remember, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, so Jesus isn't there yet, it's just Simon, it's just Peter or Simon and the disciples, and here's what he says, I go a-fishing. Now wait a minute, Jesus didn't call them to go fishing for fish, he called them to go fishing for men. But Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night, they caught nothing. Interesting. They go fishing at night. Again, on the Sea of Tiberias. You might be wondering, what's the Sea of Tiberias? It's the same thing we heard about on the first night. On Monday night, the Lake of Gennesaret. It's the Sea of Galilee, the same place. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? It's just a nice way of talking to them. He's not really calling them kids. They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea, jumped overboard. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, about the length of a football field is how far off the land they were. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, that means when they had eaten, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, now listen, this is where we're going to focus in. I know it's been a lot of reading. If you've missed any of it, pay attention now. He says, Simon, it's interesting, he doesn't call him Peter here, he calls him Simon. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. Means you went wherever you wanted to go. You put on your clothes and you went. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Somebody else is going to carry you around where you don't want to go. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. I know it was a lot of reading, Lord. God, I pray for these children, these teenagers, these adults, every person in this room tonight. Lord, I pray that you would speak through me and you'd speak to them. Lord, remove me from this. This is our last night. God, I pray with all my heart that the Holy Spirit would meet with us tonight. And Father, we pray that you would just let your power go forth. I pray for those, the one or the two, or the ten, or however many there are. Lord, I pray for them that tonight would be the night they get saved. And those, Lord, who are saved, who may be struggling with what we're going to preach about tonight, I pray, Lord, that they would get victory over it as well. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so if you go back with me in our thoughts, we're just going to go back for a moment. The Bible says that just a few nights before, or maybe a couple weeks before, Peter had denied Jesus three times. I can't imagine anything worse in that situation where Peter and Jesus walked together for 3.5 years. They were close. They were friends. They were buddies, but they were also Lord and servant. And Peter had been with Jesus from the beginning. In fact, where we're at tonight, it's all the way back to the very beginning of Peter's time with Jesus. Remember Monday night? We were at Campsite 1 along the shore. And there's Peter, if you remember, Simon, he's out there, he's scrubbing those nets, he's frustrated. All he wanted to do was take care of his family. All he wanted to do was meet their needs, and he couldn't. He'd fished all night long, and he just couldn't catch anything. And along came Jesus, and Jesus takes him out into the Sea of Galilee there, tells him where to throw the nets, and Peter starts to pull them in. And as he's pulling them in, the net begins to break, and he yells out for his partners, and they come over and they help him. And then when they see that both boats are full, they begin to sink, Peter falls down on his knees. He says, "Depart from me, O Lord, for I'm a sinful man." And Jesus says to him, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." In another place in the Bible it says, "Follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men." That's where it all started for Simon, for Peter. And the Bible says that he followed Jesus for the next 3.5 years. And imagine, you're in a youth group or you're in a church setting and there might be somebody you love. I've been able to hang out with Brother Mendez here the last couple days, and he's a great guy. I just want to throw that out there. And just loves you teenagers and loves this church and loves the Lord. And just, I mean, you hear it. I think today, it was great. Every 5 minutes, it didn't matter if we talked about anything else. The Lord came back up. The teenagers came back up. Ministries came back up. You could see the heart of this man. And you know what I know? I grew up in a youth group for 4 years. I had the same youth pastor, and we would have followed him off the cliff. Is that right? I don't know. But he was trying to teach us to love Jesus. And Paul said, "Follow me as I follow the Lord." And I may have said that wrong, but that's still the truth. And so, You ought to think about your youth group and your time with Mr. Mendez, you children, as you follow your teachers here in school and in church, as you follow some of these adults in the VBS, as you follow Pastor Schaefer, you begin to have a love for them. And I can't imagine following somebody for so many years and then all of a sudden saying, "I don't know them." And basically, when Peter said, when he denied Jesus those three times, he was telling everybody, he was telling the girls, he was telling the men that said, "You've walked with him." He says, "I don't know him, I don't love him, I've never met him." Right? I mean, that's what he's saying. By saying, "I don't know him," how can I love somebody I don't know? I don't know him, I don't love him, I've never met him, I'm not his. And he says it three times. And then at the end of that whole time, Peter looks at Jesus when that rooster crowed. They make eye contact. The Bible says Peter ran out and wept bitterly. If we were to read on later after Jesus resurrects, after he comes back from the dead, it's very interesting. When Jesus resurrects, he tells some of the ladies to go find, some of the ladies that had been part of their group, he says, "Go find the disciples and Peter." Crazy. Wait a minute. There were like 12 disciples. And then there were also many more as well. And yet the Bible says, go find the disciples and Peter. Yeah, and Peter. Because Jesus knew what was going on in Peter's heart after he had denied him three times. To Peter, this was it. It was all over. I can never be forgiven. I have denied the Lord. I have said I don't know him. I basically said I don't love him. I basically said I don't follow him. I've totally turned my back on him. And I did it three times. And I even told him he was wrong when he told me I would do it. I can't. How could he ever use me again? Now, I can't prove to you from words out of Peter's mouth that that's what's going on in his heart. But I believe the Bible supports that very much. When Jesus says, go get the disciples and Peter. And that's not even our text. But then tonight, here they are, and Peter's out there with the disciples, and he goes, "Boys, I don't know what to do anymore." That's basically what he's saying. I don't know what to do. Jesus isn't here. We've seen him. Yeah, we've seen him. but he's not with us every day. We don't see him every day. Now, he was with them every day, but they didn't see it. They weren't walking with him. Jesus wasn't there pulling devils out of people. Jesus wasn't there in their minds, in their eyes. He wasn't there healing people. They were alone now. They didn't even understand why he had to die. They didn't fully get it yet. And so Peter's just totally thrown off, and he goes, I just don't even know what to do. I'm going back to what I used to do. I'm going fishing. And all the other disciples, they go, we're going with you. And they go out on the Sea of Galilee, and they go out at night, just like when Jesus first found Simon, and they fish all night, and they don't catch anything. When we try to do things on our own, we fall flat on our face. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot live for God on our own. We need Jesus Christ. And he shows up in the morning. When the daylight's coming up, a man is walking along the shore. And those disciples are out there on the boat, and they must have been frustrated. But I don't know what was going on in their mind. And they look in. The Bible says they didn't know it was Jesus yet. Now, John tells us that it's Jesus, but they didn't know that. And they're looking, and they see this guy walking along the shore. They don't recognize him. And so there he is, and he yells out. He goes, hey, guys, have you got any meat? Have you got any food? Did you catch anything? I'm kind of hungry. Are you hungry? Any of those things. And they yell back, no, we didn't catch anything. He goes, well, take your net and throw it on the right side of the boat. The Bible says they grab the net, throw it over, and catch 153 fishes, the Bible uses. Individual fish, and it calls them great fishes. 153 big fish. They catch all those. And then the Bible says that they look at that, and John looks at that as they're pulling it in, and he whispers to Peter, he says, it's the Lord. He realizes it's Jesus. And Peter goes, Jesus? And then all of a sudden, he throws a coat on himself. He jumps in the water. He swims into shore like mad. The other disciples, I don't know if they get out of that boat into a small boat. The Bible says they're in a small boat then, and they come in about a football field length of distance, and they come in, and then when they get there, Jesus is standing there or sitting there on the sand with a little fire going, and he's got bread, and he's got fish, and he's got this campfire going. He says, come on over and eat. He says, and bring some of those fish that you caught. Well, Peter goes out. He just walks out there. I told you on Monday night, he was a strong, tough guy. The Bible says he grabs the net, and he drags it up. 153 fish, great fishes, by himself, drags up. And you know what the Bible says? It says the net didn't break, even though there were so many big fish. Why is that? I don't think Jesus let it break. Not only is Jesus able to give us what we need in life, not only can he give us salvation, but he can also keep it and will also keep it. And so he brings those up and they sit down and then they start talking around the campfire. That's why we're in campsite number 5, around the campfire. And they start talking. And I'm going to tell you real quick, if I can just kind of stop myself for a minute, there is so much that we could learn from just this passage of the Bible. So much. I'm not even going to scratch it tonight. And you know what that means? Keep coming to church every Sunday so that you can learn the rest of the Bible and grow. But anyways, they sit around and they begin to talk, and Jesus focuses on Peter for a little bit. And he asks him this question, and he says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now, I'm going to get just a little bit tricky here. Jesus uses a word there for love. It's a big word in a different language. It's agape. It just means, do you love me with all your heart? Will you follow me? And Peter responds back to him. He says, Lord, I love you. But he doesn't say it the same way. It's kind of like this. I love my wife, Miss Greenwell, and I love Mr. Leader. I do not love Mr. Leader the way I love my wife. You see? Same word, different meaning. And Jesus asks Simon, he says, do you love me with all your heart? Would you follow me? Would you serve me, Peter? And Peter says to him, he says, Lord, I love you. I love you. But I don't know if I can say that I love you with all my heart. And Jesus says, feed my lambs. And they eat a little bit, and I don't know, maybe they're talking a little more. And Jesus asks again, he says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he asks him again, you love me with all your heart? Will you follow me, Peter? Peter goes, Lord, I love you. He says, but I don't know if I can say I love you with all my heart. And then the Bible says that Jesus asks him one more time. He changes the word now. Jesus says, are we at least close? Are we at least, do you love me? Do you at least care about me? Peter says, yes, Lord. He says, you know all things. The Bible says he's grieved now at the third time he's asked. He says, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Why did Jesus ask him three times? I don't know. But you know what? It's interesting. Peter denied him three times. And remember, just a moment ago, when we think about it, when Peter said, I don't know the man. I've never walked with him. He's saying, I don't love him. How can I love somebody that I've never met? And he says it three times. And now Jesus is asking, do you love me enough to follow me? And Peter's going, Lord, I don't know. Why is he doing that? Because he's afraid to commit to Jesus with all of his heart because he's messed up so bad. And last night I heard that there were some people even saying these words, and it was amazing because we were already going to preach this. And they said, I think I'm just too bad to be saved. I don't know if Jesus could save me. I don't know if he could forgive me. If you just knew what I've done, if you knew what's in my heart, if you knew the thoughts I've had, if you knew the things I've done. And maybe kindergartners are sitting here and first graders are sitting here, and if you're like me, you're going, what in the world could they have possibly done to ever feel that way? And I hope they don't. But the truth is, I've seen what people say to them sometimes. And sometimes it's not what they do, but it's what other people tell them about themselves that would cause them to feel that way. And somebody might say to the little ones, nobody loves you. What are you doing here? Why? Just go away. And they might call them a name. And it might be mom and dad, and I sure hope not, but it could be. Or it could be a teacher. Not in church, I would hope, but maybe in school. It could be somebody in the community. It could be a friend. I teach kindergarten. And I teach it in a public school. And I've watched one kindergartner tell another one, I hate you. We're not friends anymore. And you know what happens? It breaks the other one's heart. And they actually begin to believe what they've been told. And so for the older ones, maybe the challenge for you, maybe what's going on in your heart is, I can't be saved. I can't be forgiven. I've gone too far. I've done too much. Or maybe it's you've had things done to you that have made you feel like you just need to hide. Like there's no way God could ever accept you because other people don't. And for the little ones, maybe it's, nobody loves me, but I'm a bad person, or I'm this or that. And listen, we're all failures to God's law. But God looks at us and he says, I love you. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks or says, I love you. And God says, my forgiveness is for failures. Maybe you have gone so far. Maybe you've done things that you just can't imagine me forgiving. But God says, but that's why I sent my son to die for you. And listen, here's the truth. When we start to say, God can't forgive me, you know what we're really doing? We're saying Jesus isn't strong enough. Jesus isn't powerful enough. His blood isn't pure enough. He can't do it. Listen, that's a real problem. He can do all things. He is the Son of God, and he can forgive you. And here, it's interesting, Jesus asked Simon three times, do you love me? And that third time, Peter says, Lord, you know all things. I do love you. I just don't know if I can say I love you with all my heart. Jesus says, feed my sheep. Each time when he says, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, Jesus is giving Peter something to do on Jesus' behalf. What does that mean? He's saying, I can still use you, Peter. I can still use you. I can still use you. And then following that, if you go back with me for just a moment, I realize it's maybe a little deeper. I'm trying to keep it as simple as I can. If you go back with me to the night when Jesus told Peter that he would deny him, Peter said this. He said, Lord, though I die with thee, I would not forsake thee. He says, I would die with you. On that night, when Peter was afraid of being captured and possibly dying with Jesus, he ran away and he denied. And now at the very end of Jesus' conversation with him, he says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. He's saying, Peter, when you were a kid, when you were a teenager, when you were in your 20s, when you were young, you put on your clothes, you got up, you went wherever you wanted to go. He said, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whithersoever. Whither thou wouldest not. Now, what does that mean? Well, it's not for me to decide. Let me tell you what the Bible says that means. Very next verse says, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. So Jesus said, now, Peter, you said you would die with me. He said, you'd never forsake me. I know you think you completely failed. And maybe that night you did fail. But I can still use you. And in the end, you will die for me. Think, oh man, I don't know if I like that. But think about it like this. That's what Peter said he was willing to do. He wanted to love Jesus with that much of his heart. And Peter feels like he's failed Jesus so bad, he cannot be forgiven. And Jesus says, not only do I forgive you, but I'm going to be able to use you until the day you die, Peter. I know the beginning from the end. It's not over. Young people tonight, I don't know what you're thinking. I know there's some distractions in the room. I've prayed a lot about tonight. I've asked the Lord to save some of you, those of you who especially have felt like there's no way I can be forgiven. I've done so much wrong. And then maybe you've already been saved, but you haven't been following Jesus. You're like Peter. You think, I can't say I love you with all my heart, Lord. That's a sin. And what we need to do at that point is we need to ask God to forgive us of that, not to be saved again. Just get us back on track. And Lord, help me to do what's right. And you know, the very first place we can start with that, we can start coming to church so that we hear the word of God. We start to take it in. We grow and we follow him. If you're here without Jesus tonight, I mean, if you have not been saved, last night we saw that there's pressure. And that pressure, just because I'm preaching a different message doesn't mean there's no pressure tonight. Don't worry about what your friends think. Worry about what he thinks. But tonight we've learned that there is no sin so great that Jesus can't forgive you. He can. Peter said, I don't even know him. And Jesus says, I can forgive you. I can forgive you. Young people tonight, that's the challenge. What's holding you back? What's keeping you from committing yourself unto Jesus? The Bible even uses that word in another place, speaking about salvation, committing yourself to him. What's keeping you from committing yourself to him, from saying, Lord, I need you. I need to be forgiven of my sin. I am a sinner. Those things that are so bad that make me feel like you could not forgive me, I need forgiveness from that. And Jesus says, I can. I can. My blood covers and washes away all sin. Just come to me. That's the challenge tonight. That's the challenge. If I could have maybe our adults go to the back tonight as we get ready for an invitation. Young people,